TVs. I love singing along to that. It's great. It's movie time on Radio Yorkshire. It's Wednesday, and joining us in the studio is the lovely Katricia Euphage and R. Eloise Ma.
Hola.
Hola. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm not too bad, actually. I'm not too bad. I've watched a lot of films over the last few days, and some particularly good ones and some particularly bad ones. I've gone back to like stuff I've missed in the cinema. So I didn't. I watched Fantastic Four. This week, which for an hour was great and then horrendous. And I watched Amy, the Amy Winehouse film.
Did you have a good cry? I had a good cry.
It was really sad. Yeah. It was just so tragic that you know, she was just so talented. I knew that she was good and like she was an amazing singer. But when you see her like 13 years old singing, you're like, oh my God, this girl is good.
Not much effort from her. That's natural.
No effort whatsoever. But yeah, really, really sad. And interesting as well that the creators of that, Asif Kapadia, is doing a one on Oasis now. That's not so much of a tragic story as Senna or Amy, I don't think, but that'll be interesting. We've got plenty to come on the show this morning. We are going to be looking at the big new movie this week. I say big in inverted commas. It's called Burnt. And it stars Bradley Cooper. It's not that big, but I think it's still Spectre.
It doesn't look Chef, which almost made me turn my back on my vegetarianism.
Yeah, the meat in Chef. You don't watch that film when you're hungry.
I want some pastrami.
Downstairs at the Suburbs, they do it now. It's probably not the same as it was in Chef. So we'll have some movie news and we'll look at some TV movies of the week, of which there are some really, really good movies this week. So we'll do that. First of all, let's do Clipbait. Now, last week it was a Halloween special and there are some Halloween-y type movie prizes available. And this was the clip you needed to guess.
I want you to go as quietly as possible. Do not make a sound until I tell you to run. Then run as quickly as you can. Now, does everybody understand?
Yes,
all right, John, you lead the way.
It still sounds scary, doesn't it? That was, of course, from Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Oh.
So well done, everybody that got it right. First one out of the hat this morning is Mike Powell. Well done, Mike Powell. You've won a Halloween-y type movie goodie bag, and we'll get that off to you very, very shortly indeed. This week's well. Now. See if you can get this one, okay? Now, of course, Halloween's over. That means we can talk Christmas, yeah?
Yeah, I've got a Christmas film.
There you go. Right, okay, here we go then. Here is your latest clip bait. You need to tell us, what film is this clip from?
I'm going to give you, to the count of 10, to get your ugly, yellow, no-good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. All right, Johnny, I'm sorry. I'm going. 1, 2, 10. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Which film is that one? It does have a Christmas connotation to it. I think there's a clue. I think it's classed as a Christmas film.
Is it a film within a film?
That's a film within a film. That's right, yes. I'll tell you what, I will. If you get that film or the film that clip is out of, either of those films, we'll pop you in the prize drawer, okay?
Oh, clever. What if they get both?
If they get both, then you still get to go in the prize drawer.
Okay.
I think that's fair. At @radio_Yorkshire, studio@radioyorkshire.co.uk, and we'll pick a winner next week. Let's talk news. What have you got?
I couldn't find that much this week, I'm not going to lie, but Disney have unearthed a lost film.
Oh, I read something about this, yes.
I think it's 87 years later. It could be 67, 87.
Something like that, yeah.
It's called Sleigh Bells. It's Mickey Mouse's precursor, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. It looks like Mickey Mouse if he ironed and stretched out his ears. And it was found in the BFI archive.
Wow, you would have thought Disney would have had that.
Maybe he thought, I'll leave them something to find. You know, he was a bit eccentric, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, that and other things, I think. But so interesting.
I don't know what you mean.
I have no idea at all. I suppose, do we really want to see it? I suppose just for posterity, but...
Well, I liked Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all... Yeah, quite good. That's my Steamboat Willie impression. Do you like it?
That was good, yeah. It was really
good. Thank you very much. So there's a brand new old Disney film. Now, obviously, everything gets resurrected at some point as well. We've got the new Ghostbusters coming out. That's very, very exciting.
Hmm.
I don't know if it is. What about this, then? We can rebuild him. We have the technology. It's the $6 million man. Yeah, Steve Austin's going to be back. This is my favourite TV show from the... Well, when I was a kid, this was my absolute favourite. I had a Steve Austin suit. I've got a Steve Austin doll, which is actually in the studios at the moment. And if you watch the movie Vodcast, you'll see that a little bit later on today. Yes, but Mark Wahlberg... is going to be the $6 billion man. Do you see what they've done there?
Yeah, do you think it'll be funny? Do you think they'll bring the ha's?
Interesting you say that, because there was a version about 10 years ago that was mooted that was going to be Jim Carrey as the $6 billion man.
Will Ferrell would have been a very good choice.
See, I think that might be a way of going it. This, I think, is going to be a bit more serious because it's going to be director Peter Berg.
Yeah.
And regular collaborator Mark Wahlberg reimagining it. Of course, Peter Berg directed him in a film recently, Lone Survivor, I think it was, all about an army. That's a really good film with Mark Wahlberg, actually. So there we go. It looks like it's going to be happening. The film will be out in the US, at least, December 22nd, 2017. They're going to be shooting it next summer. So I'm very excited. I love $6 million man. So I don't know. Lee Majors is still alive. So I'd imagine.
Baseball player.
No, he was the $6 million man. Lee Majors. He was the $6 million man. He's not a baseball player. Major League is a name of a baseball film. Are you?
No.
Okay. So it looks like it. I'm very excited about this. I think this will be great. So there you go. $6 billion man is going to be out 2017.
Oh. Okay. Well, Billy Bob Thornton. Is back for Bad Santa 2.
Oh, this is good news.
I've not seen the first one, but it looked quite funny.
Look, it's very coarse. Okay, it is very, very coarse, but it is hilarious. The kid that is in it is brilliant. It's my favourite. And it's all about a Santa and his elf who effectively go into, once a year, they make their money by going in and being a store Santa, but then stealing everything from the store and doing a heist. And he's the worst Santa ever because he's an alcoholic, drug-fueled, sweary Santa and very smelly.
I like it.
It's really good. As a Christmas movie, watch it this year because it's great.
Ooh.
So Bad Santa 2.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. Now Spectre has been out for a little bit. There's it's causing a lot of division, I think, Spectre. I've spoken to a few people who are not keen on it. And I've spoken to other people who absolutely think it's the best Bond of all time. It's now at 66% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it shows the critics are pretty much divided as well. But it is breaking box office records. The headlines write themselves, obviously. Spectacular. I know, it's great, isn't it? But the latest James Bond outing is setting box office records, having overtaken Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban with the biggest opening in UK box office history. It took 41.7 million in the UK since opening on October 26. It's racked up an estimated 80.4 million worldwide. IMAX records have also fallen. The film became the first to ever top $100,000 per location average and displacing Transformers Dark of the Moon. My God. Well, thank God it did.
Yeah.
So next it's going to be America, but because they've not even seen it yet. No, America get it Friday. They get Spectre on Friday, November 6th. So will it beat 1.1 billion worldwide that Skyfall did? Maybe. I think, but that might be riding on the coattails of Skyfall. I don't think it's as good as Skyfall. It's still a very good film, though. Mm. So there you go. It's breaking all sorts of box office records. Great news. Great news. What have you got next for us, Katricia?
Well, I have one bit of news, and I have a bit of Star Wars news as well.
Oh, no!
It's all going off. The first bit is that The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, the running time has been released.
Oh, right, OK.
It's not as bad as I thought it would be. It's going to be a 12A...
Yeah.
And it's going to be 137 minutes long.
That's 2 hours and 17 minutes. That's all right.
It's not Lord of the Rings. It's not, you know, I remember seeing that last one, getting up. Oh, sitting back down. Oh, it's not finished. Okay, getting up. No,
18 goodbyes.
Oh, it's not.
It was like a swan song at the end there, wasn't it?
It was like when everyone goes off to uni and you're in a club and you have to say goodbye to everybody.
Well, I suppose the difference is Return of the King, a big book, one film.
Yeah.
Whereas Hunger Games, Mockingjay, very small book, two films.
Yeah.
And they've split it, and it didn't need to be split. They could have just done it in one film quite easily, but they just wanted some coinage.
I'm quite surprised that it has been a 12A, because there are some scary kind of mutant monsters in this last book, and I've seen a clip of them, and they would terrify me as a 12-year-old.
Yeah. It's a great book. Well, it's not the best of the books. The best one's the first one. Second one's good. Third one, yeah.
I love it all.
No, they're good. So, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Anything with J-Law, I'm happy. I'm happy. Finally, Sandra Bullock is going to star in an all-female Ocean's 11. All-female seems to be the hot thing to do with regards to, like, Ghostbusters. They're apparently going to be doing Expendables.
Oh.
See what they've done there? That's happening, but also Sandra Bullock is reportedly ready to star for Gary Ross in a new take on the Ocean's 11 films, according to Playlist. It's been in the works for some time. Original trilogy director Steven Soderbergh is involved, alongside George Clooney as producer. So we don't know, is it going to be Ocean's 11 or is it going to be just a heist movie with an all-female cast? I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. I like Sandra Bullock, so yeah. I'll watch anything that she's in.
Good.
Because she is lovely. Did you say you had some Star Wars news?
Yes,
Come on.
Sorry, you might be quite upset about this. So Disney are trying to wipe out something from Star Wars.
Right.
It's the gold bikini. They don't want it in any of their merchandise, and they want it almost wiped from the archive.
The thing is, they can't wipe it from my memory. That's in the bank.
Not until they make the Men in Black ready things.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true, yeah. Princess Leia in a gold bikini.
Yeah, it's going.
No, it'll always be there.
Because apparently Carrie Fisher was worried that they'd exploit Daisy sexually.
Oh, I see what you mean. To put her in a gold bikini in the
new
sequels.
Ones. So she's quite relieved that they're kind of wiping it out.
I can understand that, but it's still an image that will be with me for the rest of my life. And I will take that to my grave.
Lovely.
Carrie Fisher in a gold bikini. Mid-80s. Yowza. I have some Star Wars news.
Yeah?
They're being very, very good about, like, not letting out too many spoilers, etc. J.J. Abrams is excellent at this, but I think something might have crept out in a Duracell ad, which is ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, because there's a picture, one of the parts of the Duracell Christmas ad has got a picture of R2-D2 and C-3PO, and you might just notice that C-3PO has a red arm. Now, why has it? It's a Battle of Christmas Morning, this advert is, and it sees a little boy rush to get some batteries for his new lightsaber, only to find 3PO and his best mate, R2-D2, waiting in his room to warn him of the dangers. Sir, I must advise against this. The odds of survival are 608 to 1. That's my C-3PO impression.
Yeah, I got it.
Right. Anyway, that's the commercial. You can watch it online at the moment, but... fans have all been just talking about C-3PO's red arm what's that all about? That's what we don't know, because it's hidden on the poster. You don't see C-3PO's red arm. Why has he got that red arm?
Well,
what's it all about?
Maybe he's just seeing a Madonna reinventing himself.
Maybe so. There has to be a reason. has to be a reason.
Yeah.
Nothing's there for no reason whatsoever. So a mystery red arm, Duracell. But, you know, maybe they wanted people to see it in an advert. And so everybody's now talking about that mystery red arm.
Everybody?
Maybe just me. Maybe just me. So there you go. That's your Star Wars news for this week. I'm just so happy that you're playing along with Star Wars news now. And you've embraced it.
Can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, exactly. 23 minutes away from 10. We're going to be chatting to Adam from Little White Lies very, very shortly. Very, very shortly indeed. But first, the big new movie out this week. I say big. It's one of the only movies out this week. It's called Burnt. And it stars Bradley Cooper as a chef.
At 16, I quit school. I saved just enough for a one-way ticket to Paris. Maybe I just wanted it really bad, and then when I got it too early, I didn't know how to hold on to it.
What do you want?
I'm going to run the best restaurant in the world.
Are you sure he's famous?
If you're a chef, he's like the Rolling Stones.
I don't want my restaurant to be a place where you come and eat. I want people to sit at that table and be sick with longing.
So, where you been?
Louisiana.
Doing what?
Sniffing, snorting, injecting.
If you try to start a new restaurant, there are at least a dozen people who will try to have you killed.
The kitchen's the only place I've ever felt like I really belonged.
I loved every minute of it. The heat, the pressure, the violence.
What happens if you succeed?
Fireworks. Immortality.
What happens if you fail?
I don't know if I can do it.
Adam Jones. Thank God. One hoped you were dead.
And now I'm back. You are looking at that all the time,
yes,
yeah?
Chef.
You have eyes on it the whole time, so you hit the pass.
Yes, chef.
Yeah, look at me. Yeah?
Yes, chef.
You up for it?
Yes, chef.
All right, let's go! Yes, chef.
He's whisking. He's whisking. That's Burnt, starring Bradley Cooper, who whisks at the end of it. So there we go.
Drama.
Is it autobiographical about Gordon Ramsay?
I'm not sure. Good Morning Britain are featured in it, aren't they?
Are they really?
Yep.
So straight away, you know, this is going to be horrendous. Really, really not working. Look, if you're going to watch a film about food, watch Chef. Because that's, like, brilliant and will make you feel very, very hungry indeed.
Au chocolat.
And will change you from being a vegetarian.
Almost.
Let's talk all things movies from Little White Lies, a fantastic website. It's Adam Woodward. Morning, Adam.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, not bad at all, not bad at all. We were looking at the releases this week, and that it's just a horrendous... Is this the problem when you've got something massive like Spectre coming out, that everybody just sort of thinks, we need to leave this well alone for a few weeks?
Yeah, you notice everyone kind of clears the way for things like Spectre, and you'll see it later on. I think we've got Hunger Games and Star Wars coming out in quick succession, and it's... Yeah, there's not a lot really sort of coming out in the next couple of months because of that.
Yes, it's a bit of a slow time at the movies at the moment. This 2015's been a pretty good year so far. What have your thoughts been so far, Adam?
I think it's been a pretty good year. Yeah, we've had sort of peaks and troughs, I'd say. I don't think the summer season was all that much, if I'm honest. There's sort of quite a few big releases that I was looking forward to, like Jurassic World and Terminator Genesis, that didn't really do it for me, but I think it's been pretty solid. Awards season, if you look back at sort of January, February, it was some amazing films coming out then, and I think we're set for another good period after Christmas.
Adam, we've got Jobs coming out next week. It seems like this idea is a bit of a poison chalice. Have you seen it at all?
I have, yeah. It's an interesting one. I think it's, in a way, feels quite soon to be having a film made about someone like Steve Jobs, in that obviously it's only a few years since he died, but when you kind of watch the film, you realise how much kind of influence he's had over the last quarter of a century, really, and how much of everything we kind of know and love today about Apple and kind of consumer technology, I guess, at large, that he had sort of such a big hand in that. So in a lot of ways, he is a kind of poster boy for 20th century technology, 21st century technology, should I say. So it's interesting that this film has kind of come about now, yeah.
It's got a bit of a stellar cast in there with Michael Fassbender, directed by Danny Boyle, written by Aaron Sorkin. I mean, it's got all the things that you would think would make it a very, very good movie.
Yeah, and I think you can definitely see where the influence of Aaron Sorkin is over maybe Danny Boyle as a director. And that just comes out of the way. I think actually the marriage between the two is quite good. And for the most part works. I'd say it's probably the best of Aaron Sorkin. If you're an Aaron Sorkin fan, if you like things like The West Wing and you liked The Social Network, then I think that, you know, the dialogue, the kind of quickfire dialogue will sit well with you. But equally, I think there's times when Danny Boyle maybe overdirects it a little bit. But yeah, his kind of artistic and sort of visual language is definitely in there as well.
It seems like Kate Winslet has her peaks and troughs year. She does quite a lot, but this year, does it look like maybe Kate Winslet will be back on our screens a bit more after Jobs?
I hope so. She's in a film called The Dressmaker, which is coming out, I think, in a couple of weeks, which I haven't seen yet, but it's supposed to be quite good. And in this one, it's actually a bigger role than maybe it's sort of billed as, although it does have her playing a character with a kind of Polish accent, and it takes you a little while to realise that she's actually doing this accent, I think. it's quite strange, and she sort of drops in and out of it, which is, I'm not quite sure it sort of works for her, really. But no, I think she's actually really good in this. It's, basically, the film's split up into three scenes, and each of them takes place just before a product launch. And I think it spans about 15 or 16 years. And each of these scenes is part of the core relationship of the film is Steve Jobs and Kate Winslet's character, who's his kind of PA. It's interesting. They're back and forth. I think with someone like Michael Fassbender, with Aaron Sorkin, his dialogue, and with a character as big as Steve Jobs, you need someone equally kind of strong and assertive to kind of bounce off him. And I think Kate Winslet really steps up and does a good job at that.
I'm intrigued about this because, of course, Michael Fassbender playing Steve Jobs. But, of course, I think they missed a trick here. I mean, because, Ashton Kutcher owned that part. Realistically, they should have just brought Ashton back. He had that languid, lolloping walk during the first version of Jobs. Why did they not just hire Ashton again?
Well, I guess, I mean, I don't know if you've seen that film, but it wasn't particularly received well, to say the least. And I think, initially when Ashton Kutcher was cast, there was a few eyebrows raised, but he's obviously a dead ringer for a young Steve Jobs. But I think Fassbender does a really good, he's really good in the role. He doesn't necessarily look like him. I'm not exactly sure whether he's got the kind of mannerisms down, but he delivers the dialogue just really well. It's one of those films that in the moment it kind of takes you along and you get kind of caught up in it. And to be perfectly honest, you don't really question Fassbender's casting after a while. So
I don't know. You've got to have a bit of love for Ashton. I am of course
joking.
You're not
convinced.
Yeah, well, I've seen the original Jobs film with Ashton Kutcher. It is awful. It is it is bad.
Aww.
But bless Ashton Kutcher. He tries his best.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Make sure you log on to Little White Lies for all the film news and reviews.
And get the magazine.
And get the magazine as well. Get the magazine. Available in all good magazine places that you buy them. But Adam Woodward, that's not really a big pitch for you. We'll work on that. Adam Woodward, thanks very much for joining us on Radio Yorkshire. Cheers, Adam.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's Adam Woodward from Little White Lies there, joining us on Radio Yorkshire. 14 minutes away from 10. I think Billy might be coming back into the studio very shortly because we're going to talk TV movies.
Yay.
This week. Let me start.
Okay.
Now, I know Halloween is over, okay, but I cannot not put this into the TV movies of the week. Film 4, Friday, very early morning, 1 a.m. So it's really Thursday night, Friday morning. The Omen from 1976.
I still haven't seen it.
Have you got Film 4 at home?
Yes.
Right. Record it, because this will scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. This is a great film. Proper, proper great film. With Gregory Peck, Lee Remick, and it's just... it's almost a perfect horror film. Because it's stuff about, like, the devil. I don't know why. That just almost makes it feel a bit more real. I don't know why.
Maybe I'm out if it's all about the devil.
Well, it is about the reincarnation of the devil in this small baby. And how he grows up, Damien, as the son of Satan. Look, this is scary, scary stuff. And you want to watch it just to see how certain people die in it. Because there's some great, elaborate death scenes in it. So just watch it. If you've not seen it, I'm not going to spoil anything about it. But 1 a.m. Friday morning, The Omen from 1976. Do it.
I've got loads of choices. Right,
have you?
So film four tonight, which I'll probably be watched. Well, I'll probably be asleep, actually. 9 o'clock, Pitch Perfect.
Oh, lovely.
I love Pitch Perfect. Didn't like the second one. Not keen there's going to be a third
one. Not seen the second one yet.
But Pitch Perfect's just a bit of fun. Just a bit fun.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it? Yeah. I do like Pitch Perfect. It is a good film. I've still got Pitch Perfect 2 to watch. I just have not... got round to it this week.
There's another one at the same time though, which is probably gonna.
Okay.
I don't know. American Psycho is on Horror Channel at 9.
Do you know Billy picked that one as well?
Did he?
Yes, I know that he did pick that one because he'd never seen it.
He'll love it,
wouldn't it? Especially, and this is a spoiler, there's a brilliant, brilliant scene within American Psycho where they use Huey Lewis and the News, Hip to Be Square.
Yeah.
And the character that Christian Slater plays, is it Bateman?
It's not Christian Slater. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Not Christian Slater.
Bale. Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Did I say Christian Slater? Yeah, Christian Bale and Jared Leto with Hip to Be Square as the music.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any more than that, but just watch it.
Kanye West does a great parody with Scott someone. I can't remember someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely watch that. If you've never seen American Psycho before, Horror Channel tonight, 9 o'clock, well worth it. Again, I'm going ITV3.
Yeah?
On Saturday morning, very early morning, 10 past midnight. It's called The Rebel from 1960. Now, I'm a big fan of Tony Hancock. Hancock's Half Hour is one of my favourite ever sitcoms of all time, and the radio sitcoms, I love Hancock's Half Hour. Named my dog after this particular comedian. I know. Look, he did a couple of films. They're not brilliant, okay? I really like it because I'm a big fan of Tony Hancock. This is all about a bored office clerk who dreams of being an artist. Problem is, he's not very good. He moves to Paris in search for inspiration. But he's so horrendous, some people in Paris think he's like some sort of Van Gogh, that he's like amazing. It's brilliant. I really, really love it. It's 10 past midnight on Saturday morning, so Friday night, Saturday morning. It stars Tony Hancock, George Saunders, Dennis Price and John Le Mesurier. Classic cast from 1960. So if you do like Hancock, you will like this. I love him. He's great. He's great. What else have you got?
Well, we were talking last week when we off air about best bad films. Now, I couldn't not put this in my list.
Okay.
A Grandpa for Christmas.
Oh, my God.
On True Entertainment.
Awful. That sounds worse than A Dog Named Christmas.
Yeah. It's on tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So now I'm going to set my Sky Plus recorder.
All right. So let's both watch this then and review it next week. When's it on? 1 o'clock? 1 p.m.
On True Entertainment.
True Entertainment.
A Grandpa for Christmas.
A Grandpa for Christmas. Right. This sounds horrendous. Have you got like a pricey there to tell us does it say anything about it?
I forgot it was so good. I read it and then I forgot it.
Oh, no. Let's go into this blind. Everybody watch this.
A Grandpa for Christmas.
A Grandpa for Christmas tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Report back to us.
This is going
to
be awful if it's like that Christmas cartoon, Grandpa.
Yeah, that would be really awful, wouldn't it? True Entertainment, 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And my last film, 1 a.m. Saturday morning. So either The Rebel or this, you're going to have to record and one to stay up for, or record both if you've got that facility. It's Damien Omen 2.
That's you all, are yeah, keen.
Film 4. But the thing is The Omen's scary. Yeah. Omen 2 is the film that scared me more.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, because he was a boy of, like, my age at that time. This is from 1978. Actually, he was a bit older than me. But when I first saw this, I was probably early 80s I would have seen it. So I was about 10 years old. When he's about 12, 13, getting towards some sort of puberty area. And so, the Antichrist becomes an adolescent evildoer. And the kid that they've got playing Damien is really, really scary. He's just got those eyes that if I met him now, I think I would be very, very scared. I think I would poop my pants because he's got very piercing eyes and he will scare you. And then they put that music on that Rectus Dominus. It's scary stuff.
Stuffed crust.
That's it. That's exactly right. Damien Omen 2, 1978, 1 a.m. Film 4 on Saturday. There we go. Okay. Any more?
Yeah, Butch Cassidy tomorrow. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Film 4. It seems like it's on every week now, but
it's good though.
It's great.
Always, always a winner. Especially that final scene. Brilliant. All them jumping off a cliff. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Raindrops keep falling on my head. Excellent.
Do you remember David Ginola's version of that on Celebrity Stars in Our Eyes?
I tried to forget it.
It's brilliant. It's the best thing that ever happened
on
TV.
It's awful. That's it for films for this week. Don't forget, of course, there'll be a visionary movie vodcast coming out on TV Yorkshire. So subscribe to TV Yorkshire on YouTube. We'll have a look on tvyorkshire.co.uk. And it'll be out a little bit later on today with the same sort of stuff, just in a different slightly way. And you get to see us, which is great news, isn't
it? Sorry.
Thank you very much, Katricia. And we'll chat again.